You're listening to The Blind Chick, an AfterSight original podcast. We're telling you stories about strength, overcoming hurdles, and living experiences. We see who you really are. Blindness can be an adventure. Are you ready for the journey of a lifetime? We are.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Blind Chick. That's Moses Street.
And that's Penn Street. The Blind Chick.
Wah, wah, wah.
That was AI.
No, it was not. Oh, my gosh, Moses. We're so excited, everybody. We are coming to you live from the 2025 Blind Travel Summit in Austin, Texas.
Yes, and we're going to go clubbing all night after this is over. And all of you are invited. Come with us. We'll get an Uber bus or that Ouija car.
Yeah, so we have had such a great time already. We went to the Bat Bridge last night.
Yes.
We went out for drinks. We won't mention names.
And all there was, though, at the Bat Bridge was this guy dressed up like Batman.
I know, that was really
asking
weird.
Asking for coins.
That was weird. That was weird. Yeah. All right, we're going to get started.
Yeah.
Moses came up with a little name for this today. This is a little different than our regular show. We usually just have one or two guests, but those guests actually know each other. Yeah. And that is not the case today. This is a really special episode. We have four incredible blind travelers that I think they have all volunteered. I don't think anybody is paying them to be on today, but they're going to be a little, you called it what, mini episode?
Yeah,
last night. Episode. So yeah, they're like little mini little snippets. But
normally this show's like an hour and a half, however long we all feel.
Yeah, but
like
they only
talking.
Gave us 30 minutes. So, yeah. Okay, snap to it. All right. So we have four incredible guests with us today that are going to just give a very small snippet snort. Ooh, is that a word? Snippet story? I don't know if that's a word or not.
I thought you said snort.
Oh, I do know that word. I do that occasionally. We'll try not to do that on air today. But they're going to share. That's what we're here for, is to learn and share stories in this blind and low vision amazing community. And so here we go. Up first is Orly. And Orly uses travel to heal. Orly, welcome to the Blind Chick.
Thank you, Blind Chick.
So Orly, share with us what that, you know, give us an example of using travel to heal.
Well, you zoned in on the one that I was a little afraid might not be well received, but I believe, you know, I'm going to shed some light on a healing journey that I embarked on as a single woman, blind woman, and there are many, but this one, Penn really felt I should bring up, and yes. Honestly, thank you, honestly, in a nutshell, since we have a short time, is that part of my healing at the beginning, I embarked on doing plant medicine, which is ayahuasca, in the jungles of Costa Rica. And at first, when I decided that that's something I wanted to explore, it was a scary thing to consider because, one, I'm traveling there by myself. I'm a woman. And I'm totally blind and I'm at the mercy of other people around me. So it was something that I really had to explore. I had to investigate and really take the time it took. So I ended up in the right hands. And I felt strongly that plant medicine would help me in my journey and the things that I had to deal with and overcome in life as a human being. And it was ayahuasca. I embarked on a San Pedro journey as well, healing, and also psilocybin in Jamaica. Yeah. And I can't begin to tell you, because most people say, well, do you see color and shapes and, you know, those shapes they keep talking about? Yeah. And I see nothing. I don't see everything that people report back. What I have felt, and the best way to describe it, is everything is physical. It's all by feel. And it gets very intense. I will say it really helped initially when I approached the retreats in, first was Peru, and there was a few other retreats I approached. They weren't willing to accept me, again, because of my visual impairment, and it's a very intense process. And they said, if you want to come, you're more than welcome. We will gladly open the doors, but you had to bring somebody with you. And I truly wanted to do this on my own. I can't just tell a girlfriend, oh, by the way, let's go do some ayahuasca next week. What do you think? Isn't that a great
you
trip?
You could have called me. I might have gone. Just
so it's something I wanted to do. And I went on a mission to find those that were willing to open up the door and support me and not limit me that I needed to have a babysitter, someone taking care of me and everything. Right. And it's been very successful. I went to Costa Rica for 2 weeks. It's something that a lot of people, especially in our community, would be so afraid for good reason to, but it is possible. And it's something that I needed to explore back several years ago.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome. So
I'm a huge believer in that because I've worked with a lot of psychotherapists.
Yes.
And when you hear the sources and the good it's doing, it is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Orly, thank you so much for, and we are going to hear more about this story in a future episode with you because I know you have so much to share.
And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely, sweetie. The next up, we have Jean. And Jean is a world traveler, and you have heard some of her stories already today. One of the things she hasn't mentioned is Jean is a cat lover of all yes. shapes and sizes.
That's right.
Jean, tell us where that came from.
And purrs also. So I'd like to actually pick up on, Orly, what you were talking about with healing. I am a recovering journalist, and I have covered very intense, kind of difficult subjects in human rights and social development around the world. And one of the things that's been healing for me is being able to interact with wildlife in various places. And so I've had the opportunity to do that in a number of places. But there are two things that I want to say about that. One is that, yes, I really, really like kitty cats. and I have had the opportunity on a couple of occasions to interact with cheetah cubs and also adult cheetahs. Mm-hmm. And what fascinates me about that is, so they're cats. And they have these movements and expressions, physical movements like house cats, but they're huge. So, like the perspective of this really huge cat. And they have this wonderful purr that cubs do. And I will get you a recording of it.
I know.
But it's very rumbly and very obvious and It's sort of like everything is magnified, you could say.
When I've been around very large cats, not petting them like as you have been doing, but I almost feel it within my rib cage, like it's inside me.
Yeah,
when they're purring.
Yeah, it is. But I also had a thing happen. I was covering some stories on land reform in South Africa, and they had one of the places. That I went to interview a women's collective, and they were doing dairy farming. So they had these cows. And so I thought, I'm going to get close to this cow to get a really good close-up recording. And this cow, it peed on my leg.
Oh.
And I had a flight to catch also. And I'm thinking, oh my God, are they going to,
Are they going to take you home for dinner?
Are they going to kind of, you know, call the authorities or something? Mm. So, but having time with animals during travel is a real privilege.
Yeah.
And is something that I hope people can take advantage of as much as possible.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Yeah. We do too. When we travel, we try to get not just with the human animals out there, yeah, but the local, and the locals.
And this is just a short addendum, is I from my teenage years start as a paper route, I was bitten by a dog and it continued. Dogs did not like me. And altogether, by the time I was about 30 or 40, I had been bitten over 30 times, often by dogs that I didn't even know were there till they were on my leg.
So he loved when he met me and I brought home a guide dog.
Yeah. So. And strangely enough, being around the guide dog, no dog has even growled at me.
Well, the day's not finished.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you, Jean. And I agree. We need to embrace all aspects of our travels, not just the human ones. So up next, we have Sean, and Sean is also a podcaster called Feeling Keen. No, I blew that, didn't I, Sean?
Feeling a bit keen.
Feeling a bit keen, because Sean's last name is Keen. And Sean also likes to travel, and he likes to travel with his beautiful wife, who I just learned has beautiful red hair. So, Sean, what's one of your favorite trips you've taken with your wife?
Oh, gosh. We've gone on several cruises with Carnival. And my favorite story is we went to Cozumel and on Carnival and got down there and got off the ship to go on this excursion to go pet the dolphins and stuff. And found out that the excursion in Mexico wasn't real excited about having two blind people coming along. But Carnival stepped in and went to their off-duty crew, and this wasn't known to us at the time, asked somebody from the crew if they would come on the excursion with us. And so me and my wife, we got to go do the dolphin excursion and touch them and pet them and all that, and congrats to Carnival.
absolutely. Tell us a little bit about your podcast. What do you focus on?
So AI is kind of my hobby. Something about 3 years ago, I had a stroke, and it was right about the time that ChatGPT came out.
Yeah.
And I found out through using AI that it helped me recover. It helped me get my brain back in order, and I think they call it plastic or something about how your brain can rewire itself. And so I just post nonsense. I make silly little songs.
It is not nonsense. I've been listening to it.
Good.
It is not nonsense.
Well, so. Go listen more. Everybody, please.
Yes. So last but not least is Krista. Krista is a mom above and beyond everything else. And Krista has a company, which please check her out on Instagram. It's, and I'm not going to blow this one. I'll try. It's blindlove.woodburning. And I personally love wood burning because it's very tactile to me. It's very, it's not like engraving. It's very light and, I almost said sensual. Can I say sensual here? Okay. Yes. Nobody laughed. That may not have been fun. But anyway, that was what was in my, but it is, it's very
really large. You don't buy a cow, they're turning.
Oh yeah. If Jean can say she got peed on a cow, I can say wood burning is sensual.
Oh, you?
Somebody got peed on somebody else. Anyway. So sorry. That's what podcasts are all about, right? All right, Sean. Oh. Tell Sean is a beautiful.
Now Sean doesn't want to talk.
I know. Sean shared a beautiful story that she did recently, and it really touched my heart as a mom. But also just finding that community in your travels. Welcome.
Oh yes, thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. Break up.
Yeah, my name is Krista Webb. I have
I just called you. Gosh, I am.
You did
totally
call me Sean.
I was like, wait.
Sorry. Krista.
I live with a condition called Usher syndrome, which is hearing loss and vision loss through retinitis pigmentosa. And I like to tell people that most of you guys are aware that blindness is a spectrum, and so is deafness. And I do love to travel, and I like to tell people that anytime I travel, I will come home with stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I want to share just two quick stories. All right, story one, I fly to Sedona, Arizona, and for a mom's retreat, and all of us have retinitis pigmentosa or Usher syndrome, and we meet up with Sedona Dave.
Yay, Sedona Dave!
Yay, yeah. So he is the inventor of the all-terrain cane. He owned the company, the Werewolf. And anyway, so we got to go on a hike with Sedona Dave and try out his ATC. Well, a couple of us may had a couple of drinks the night before.
No, not you with Dave.
And we kind of came underprepared with water on the hike. The hike went a little longer than we thought. Oh, so no. We did take frequent breaks, pulling over.
Yeah.
I sit down on what I thought was a smooth rock.
Oh, no.
But it was a prickly, sharp cactus.
Oh.
And I was wearing thin leggings. I get up, and here I got like four moms trying to pull the needles from my behind. So that's a story I'll never forget. Story two, I fly to Seattle, Washington for CBEC Deafblind Camp. And I'm coming from Texas, and a good friend of mine, Rebecca Alexander, she flies in from New York City to go to the camp too. And she's already at the airport, meets me at my gate. And it was an early morning travel. So we're like, okay, we need our coffee, right? So we get in line at the gate and we get to the cash register, tell her our coffee orders. Oh, this isn't Starbucks. Starbucks is over there. She and so Rebecca and I are like, oh, okay, thank you. We get out of line. We look at each other. Where's over there? So we find the proper line. We place our order. And as we're waiting, we realize, okay, so we got our rolling suitcase. We have our white cane. No. But we did not bring a third arm. So how are we going to carry our coffee to our destination? No. So while we're like brainstorming, this traveler from afar, he must have been watching us because you know how it is. We stand out like a sore thumb with our white cane.
Right.
So he comes up. He has a suggestion. He's like, hey, how about using one of those drink carriers? She's like, oh, okay. Thank you, sir. Sure. We'll see if we can utilize this. And I tell my friend, Rebecca, so she has Usher syndrome and is legally blind. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pretend I am not blind. What? I fold my white cane. I put it in my suitcase. And I tell Rebecca, I'm going to carry both our drinks in one hand with the drink carrier and the other hand with my rolling suitcase. I tell Rebecca, my blind friend, you're going to use your white cane sweep for the two of us while you're pulling your rolling suitcase to our destination. What? Felt like a 30-40 minute walk. I think it was only a 7 minute walk. And here we're like, please, please, nobody walk in front of me because I have less than 5 degrees of central vision.
Oh, wow.
So I am happy to report no accident. There was a miracle. We got you our drink, but no spills.
That's awesome.
So I like to share these little stories because we will almost always face challenges. You
absolutely
shouldn't let the challenges keep you from wanting to travel some more.
Nope. Well, and those things, they're opportunities not only to learn new skills, to trust others, because that guy could have been I thought that guy was going to come over and say, oh, I'll take your suitcases and you guys carry them. Who knows what happened?
But it makes it
a really true adventure if you're open
to
meeting new people and learning new things and, you know, maybe getting out of your comfort zone a little bit. So, well, thank you guys so much. Maybe just really quickly, can you share what's next? What's the next adventure?
I will, orally, since the mic was given to me. My next adventure, and maybe there's one in between, is in 2026, I'm actually going with a company that does travel for visually impaired. I'm going for the first time. I've never gone on a organized trip, and especially one geared for visually impaired awesome. Before. However, I chose this one because it's to the Galapagos Islands.
Oh, so that one. You're going to love it.
Yes.
I've been there. It is heaven on earth.
Yeah.
He did not take me. I just want to point that out.
Well, I just thought that would be the best way to go.
Awesome. Wow. Awesome. What about you, Jean?
Yeah. So next month, I will be going back to India. I was there 15 years living, and I have foster kids there. And so I'll be seeing them for the first time in quite a while.
Oh, wow.
I used to go every year, but I don't now. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that sounds beautiful. Sounds beautiful.
Okay, so I was talking to Orly here earlier, and I don't have any plans. I'm not doing anything. But what I did want to say is don't take life for granted, because you don't know how long you're gonna have. You really don't.
That's right. Thanks for sharing that. What about you, Krista?
Yeah, this is Krista. I agree with you, Sean. I think that, you know, when there's opportunities, really take consideration of maybe saying yes, or, you know, if it's not the right time, you know, maybe just another time. But I'm excited to share that in February 2026, I'll be going to Washington, D.C. to meet with the congressmen and legislators and during the Rare Disease Week and just talk about our condition. And then another opportunity, what Orly was sharing, I think I'll have to talk to you about this later, Orly, but I'm also doing the same thing with, I don't know if it's the same company or not, going with a group of low vision blind friends to Sicily, though.
Nice. Yeah, so nice. Yeah. That's awesome. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank all of you. So I don't think any of us actually knew each other before this started. And
first
so
time.
Most of you, we did meet on the phone or virtually, which was really, really, really nice. So it was so cool to meet here in person.
That phone call was like three times longer than
than the podcast. That's right. But and again, everybody out there in the podcast world and sitting in this audience, thank you so much for showing up and sharing your stories. We need more stories about blind and low vision people out there, because as we look back into history, okay, we have Helen Keller and I Love Me Some Helen. You know, we have Stevie Wonder, love me some Stevie. But there's not a lot of history about blind and low vision people in our past. So it's up to us in this generation to start sharing, and the podcasts are wonderful. Write your books, write your memoirs for this next generation. And we have some you know, youth here in our audience today that we've gotten to spend some time with. Let's leave a legacy so that they can then, you know, look for us and be inspired by us. So thank you all. Yeah. Thank you, everybody out there who supports this community and absolutely supports the Blind Chick.
And I want to say something, because I was good. I didn't talk that much. behind every art form is what's it about. And so please promote the Blind Chick, because as a sightling, I had all the prejudices that all the other sighted people. Like, I hate to admit, it took me 10 years to stop directing my wife to walk across the living room. One of the things behind the Blind Chick is to get it out to the sighted community that this is a powerful, brilliant, courageous group. And then for the group, we want the community that to bring everybody together on.
Absolutely. And again, thank you all for showing up today, showing up every day. Remember to be kind to yourselves this week, and find a way to be kind to somebody else. It's good for your soul.